followed by his military aide, Major General Edwin M. Watson, and his naval aide, Captain John R. Beardall. The other members of his secretariat are also come in with him. Stephen Early, we see. Now the President has taken his position at the clerk's desk, and in a few moments he will be introduced to this historic joint session of Congress.
Senators and representatives, I have the distinguished honor of presenting the President of the United States.
President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate of the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The United States was at peace with that nation, and at the solicitation of Japan, was still in conversation with its government and its emperor, looking toward the maintenance of peace in the Pacific. Indeed, 1 hour after, Japanese air squadrons had commenced bombing in the American island of Oahu, the Japanese ambassador to the United States and his colleague delivered to our Secretary of State a formal reply to a recent American message. And while this reply stated that it seemed useless to continue the existing diplomatic negotiations, it contained no threat or hint of war or of armed attack, or hint of war or of armed attack, or hint of war or of armed attack. Days or even the Japanese government, many days or even weeks ago, many days or even weeks ago, statements and expressions of hope the Japanese government has deliberately sought to deceive the United States by false statements and expressions of hope. The United States by false statements and expressions of hope. The United States by false statements and expressions of hope. The United States by false statements and expressions of hope. The United States by false statements and expressions of hope. The United States by false military forces. I regret to tell you that very many American lives have been lost. In addition, American ships have been reported torpedoed on the high seas between San Francisco and Honolulu. Yesterday, the Japanese government also launched an attack against Malaya. Last night, Japanese forces attacked Hong Kong. Last night, Japanese forces attacked Guam. Last night, Japanese forces attacked the Philippine Islands. Last night, the Japanese attacked Wake Island. And this morning, the Japanese attacked Midway Island. Japan has therefore undertaken a surprise offensive extending throughout the Pacific area. The facts of yesterday and today speak for themselves. The people of the United States have already formed their opinion and well understand the implications to the very life and safety of our nation. As Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy, I have directed that all measures be taken for our defense. But always will our whole nation remember the character of the onslaught against us. No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory. Will win through to absolute victory.
Gentlemen, the national anthem.
And now, back to the capital of the United States.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States has asked the Congress to declare a state of war, that a state of war exists between the United States and Japan. He has retired from the chamber of the House of Representatives, from which point he has spoken to the joint session of the Congress. The Speaker has declared the joint session dissolved. The members of the President's cabinet have retired. They were followed immediately by the members of the Supreme Court, and now the Senate. They're leaving the House chamber. The applause you hear in the background comes from the members of the House who cheer their colleagues from the other side of the Capitol building. 96 senators, presumably most of them here because, well, it would appear that they are, slowly filing out the center aisle, the north door of the House chamber, down the long corridor to the Senate chamber. The Speaker of the House conferring for a moment with his parliamentarian, Louis Deschler. And we'll stay with the action here on the House floor for a few moments in order that we may bring you the introduction of the resolution by the Honorable John W. McCormick of Massachusetts, Majority Leader of the House of Representatives, whom we've been told will present the resolution for the House of Representatives, recognizing the state of war does exist between the United States and the Empire of Japan, and carrying out the request of the President, as stated in his brief message today. The last few members of the Senate, just now leaving the House chamber. Gentlemen, in a few moments, the House of Representatives will go back in session, but we have been asked by the Speaker of the House to discontinue broadcasting from the House floor. For a moment, we will switch you over to the Senate side. If Balkage is standing by there, we might have just a word from him, if he's there. Mr. Balkage, have you a word from the Senate?
From the Senate Radio Gallery, this is Don Gardner speaking to you. And now we turn the microphone over to Balkage, our noted NBC commentator, with a few observations on the facts of the day. Balkage.
Balkage talking from the radio gallery of the Senate. The Senate chamber is still empty. They are waiting for the Senate to come back to consider the resolution that I read to you before. You've heard the President speak, and it might be interesting to compare it with the outstanding paragraph of Woodrow Wilson's address to Congress in 1917. As you see, the resolution itself is identical except for the words British and Japanese. And here is what the President Wilson said in 1917, for democracy, for the right of those who submit to authority to have a voice in their own government, for the rights and liberties of small nations, for the universal domination of right by such a concert of free peoples that shall bring peace and safety to all nations and make the world itself at last free. To such a task, we can dedicate our lives and our fortunes, everything that we are and everything that we have, with the pride of those who know that the day has come when America is privileged to spend her blood and her might for the principles that gave her birth and happiness and the peace which she has treasured. God helping her, she can do no other. And under the impact of that oratory, the resolution was introduced. How different. As you see, the President merely presented the case as it stood, the case of a nation betrayed and attacked while it was attempting to carry on efforts to assure peace. It is unlikely that...
asking Congress, in view of the attacks by the Japanese in the last 24 hours, to recognize that the state of war has existed between us and the Japanese Empire, he paved the way for the House's resolution, which will follow.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude our broadcasting from the United States Capitol building in Washington.
That he was asking Congress, in view of the attacks by the Japanese in the last 24 hours, to recognize that a state of war has existed between us and the Japanese Empire. He paved the way for the House's resolution, which will follow.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude our broadcasting from the United States Capitol building in Washington,
which will follow.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude our broadcasting from the United States Capitol building in Washington. You've heard
it. The government announced that officially. These bulletins have come from the NBC newsroom here, from the newsroom in New York to bulletins. The first is datelined London. The free French government of General Charles de Gaulle today declared war, agreed at a meeting today to give absolute solidarity to the United States. The government announced that officially. These bulletins have come from the NBC newsroom in the United States. The government announced that officially. These bulletins have come from the NBC newsroom in the United States. The government announced that officially. These bulletins have come...
Thank you. environmental song. Joseph Colicchio and the orchestra continue now playing the poem by Seebeck.
Our program at this time to bring you a special bulletin. From the NBC newsroom in New York, a bulletin dateline Singapore. The Singapore command issued a communique late today acknowledging that confused fighting continues in the Kota Bharu airdrum area. Now, Kota Bharu is... We interrupt our program at this time to bring you a special bulletin. And damage and casualties were not extensive. One Japanese plane with three dead and 133 injured. And the Berlin now from the NBC newsroom in New York, a bulletin dateline Singapore. The Singapore command issued a communique late today acknowledging that confused fighting continues in the Kota Bharu airdrome area. Now, Kota Bharu is 300 miles north of Singapore, an immediate target of Japanese invasion. Earlier, Japanese units, Bharu is 300 miles north of Singapore, an immediate target of Japanese invasion. Earlier, Japanese units, NBC newsroom in New York, a bulletin dateline Singapore. The Singapore command issued a communique late today acknowledging that confused fighting continues